You know, I run occasionally.
I've seen you in your little running
Every
outfit.
once in a while, but I run like 4 miles, and I think that's kind of enough. But for people who follow running, you know who Haile Gebrselassie, hello, can I say that? This man is so fast. He is a very fast man, and he stays fast for a very, very long time. He is the fastest distance runner in the world. And today, he set out to best his own record, because that's what you do, I guess, when you're already the best. You can only compete against yourself. So early this morning in the Dubai Marathon, Gebrselassie ran it in 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 53 seconds. I mean, that is crazy fast, 26.2 miles. But it wasn't fast enough. He missed his own record, which he was trying to beat, by 30 seconds. But a lot more than I thought goes into setting a world record. The weather has to be great. The training has had to have been perfect. And then there are the pacemakers. Now, I have to admit that even as a casual runner, when I hear pacemaker, I can't help but think about my great aunt Loy and the thing inside her heart that makes it impossible for her to go near
Oh,
microwave
no.
ovens. But in the world of elite running, pacemakers are something entirely different, and we're going to explain. To talk us through what happened in Dubai and what goes into elite pacemaking, we bring in Robert Johnson. He paced Catherine Deraba to a world record in Chicago in 2001. He's also co-founder of Let'sRun.com, the center of the runner geek universe, and a coach at Cornell. Hey there, Robert.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Sure, no problem.
So, Haile missed it, huh?
Yeah, he did.
What happened?
Well, quite honestly, there was very poor pacing.
So it comes down to pacing.
When you're trying to run faster than anyone in history and as advanced as the world records are nowadays, definitely you can't make a mistake in that. And he sort of made a. You know, I don't know if it was he or the pacemakers, but they made a very sort of rookie mistake today or this morning.
Okay, before we get into the minutiae of really what happened, I am told he planned something. Part of his strategy was something called a negative split. Can you briefly explain what that is?
Definitely the negative split is the way to go. You want to sort of, in any race, you know, if you're going to run, let's say, you know, just making it up, 5 minutes per mile, if that's the world record, you don't want to start. You know, most people think, oh, okay, if the world record's 5 minutes per mile, I got to start faster than that, and then I'll slow down as I get tired. You don't want to do that. You want to actually start slower. So a negative split is where you would run the first half of the race slightly slower, maybe, you know, 5:01 or 5:02 per mile, and the second half of the race, after you get warmed up, you run faster. And, you know, if you look at the world records, almost all of them have been run that way.
And so that didn't work out for him today.
Well, that was the plan, was to go with a negative split, but he totally just did not do that. He went out way, way, way ahead of pace, and I think that's what the average person does when they try to run a marathon. They think, okay, I'm going to get some time in the bank and get ahead, and then I'll relax, and it works just the opposite.
Okay, well, I want to hear more about pacemaking. I want to understand who these people are, what they get out of this, and what the strategy is. So stay with us. We're going to keep you on the line so we can talk to you after the break. We're talking with Robert Johnson, co-founder of Let'sRun.com. You're listening to The Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are on digital, AM, FM, satellite, iTunes, and online at npr.org/Bryant Park. From the studios of KCPW in Salt Lake City, Utah, I'm Allison Stewart.
Hey, and from BPP World Headquarters in New York, I'm Rachel Martin. We're continuing our conversation with Robert Johnson. We're talking about a very fast man, Haile Gebrselassie. He tried to best himself today in the Dubai Marathon. He fell short 30 seconds. We've decided it's about pacemaking. Robert, help me understand, what is pacemaking? Who are these people, and why is what they do important?
I think that the who are these people is it sort of varies by the race and sort of what record or what the race is. I mean, even a race, a local high school race, may have a pacemaker, but generally, the pacemaker is a pretty good runner who's trying to run at least probably half the race, maybe two thirds or three fourths of the race. sort of at the pace that someone wants to run. I mean, you hear about it more often when they're trying to run really, really fast, as this case. And sort of when you're going for world record attempt, finding someone who can pace the race is actually a big problem, because there aren't that many people who can even run half the race at the world record pace.
Well, and what's in it for those people? Come make someone else faster and get them some glory, and you just run?
Well, at that level, no. Money's in it as well. I mean, I think, you know, running, like all sports nowadays, is professional. So if you end up being a good, you know, an elite-level professional pacemaker, some of those people make, you know, pretty good money. I mean, I think it's a way. It's just running's very, you know, if you don't win the race or finish in the top five, you go home with nothing. And pacemaking is sort of maybe for the risk-averse person who's wants a guaranteed paycheck. You know, I've heard stories from European track races where that the rabbit might make more money than the third-place finisher in the race if they do a very good job. So it's kind of, you know.
So there's something to it. It's not just you're out for a long run to make someone else look good. I want to ask you, getting back to this race, the last pacemaker hung in with Hylate for about 18 miles. Now, you know what it's like to go out too fast. What do you think it was like for Hylate those last 8 miles? And we only have a couple seconds.
I think it must have been pretty agonizing. I mean, I think he must have sensed it slipping away. I mean, he was way ahead of pace at halfway, and then you get to 18, and you can see that your time's drifting down, and particularly, you know, in this case, there happened to be a million-dollar bonus if he did break the world record. So, you know, that's not really the reason why he runs, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's an icon and a legend.
And he still is to us and other running fans. Thank you so much for helping us sort through some of this. Robert Johnson, co-founder of Let'sRun.com, center of the Running Geek Universe, and a coach at Cornell. Thanks very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Take care.